amma bakin bature kun gane ko yawa bature ne to amma bakin kun ga akwai bakin bature ko yau to shi haka.
Thank you very much, and it is my privilege to be here. I'm with Adesi and my brother Madiki. We represent the Sovereign Grace Foundation, and we're here as the guest of the esteemed sister here.
And we're
here to bring you the gospel, and if you'd open into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you have a Bible. And our brother Andrew here will do the interpretation, obviously. I'm a very serious preacher, but I want you to have the joy of the gospel. And the peace. I looked at someone today and said, my soul will not rest until you rejoice in Christ Jesus. And I have that in me for you. First Corinthians chapter number 3. And we will start at verse number
11.
And we'll work down to verse number 17. And the title of the message is, You Are the Temple of God. Men try to exploit you and women because they are too lazy to work, and so they go into the ministry. And our Father in heaven is giving you and I instruction in the gospel. And he says in verse 11, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I preached on this last night or yesterday morning. But the gospel is an absolute obsession with our Lord Jesus. If I hear you talking about God, but I hear no Christ, I'm scared for you. If I hear you talking of the Spirit, but I hear no Christ, I'm afraid for you. But when Jesus Christ is the sum and the substance, when He's everything in salvation, then God the Father is glorified, and so is the Spirit. Now let's start our message for tonight in verse number 12. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and there are two kinds of ways with gold, silver, precious stone, or with wood, hay, and straw. There are only two ways to serve God in this text. One is by the truth of the gospel unto the glory of God, and the other is by the truth of the gospel but mingled with the flesh. I am utterly convinced that I'm only able to serve God for one way, which is for His glory. And that's what I want to do tonight, and that's what I want for you to do with your life. I don't want you to squander your life. Not scared.
No, okay, don't be distracted, sorry.
I thought he was saying amen.
Yes.
Thank you. Is I know many men who are preachers of the true gospel, but they are squandering their life because they're not preaching Christ incessantly unto the glory of God. And they get distracted by politics and by morality and by this thing and by that thing. And when you look at their ministry, Brother Maddocky, there is no preaching of Christ as there should be. It's just very, very small. And then there's something that's perhaps even worse, but much more subtle, is when you preach accurate words for your own glory. And the God Almighty knows. Men think they can fool God, but they cannot. He looks right at the heart. We must have a heart-filled ministry. God cleanse our heart. Our heart must be cleansed unto the glory of God. But He can do it. He can change a man like you and me and make our motives pure. He can make us live for God's glory. But it's after He's emptied everything that's inside ourselves. Because as long as a man or woman sees anything inside of himself that's worth glory, his personality, his strength, his zeal. I used to try to be so zealous in the eyes of men. That was just the devil deceiving me. But now, Brother Madaki, when I pay no attention to men and try to give God glory, they see my zeal. If it's real, it will get out of you and people will see it. If it's not real, you will have no joy and peace because God will not give it to you and He will not be mocked. It doesn't matter how much truth you have in the head, you need a heart that's filled with faith. A heart that's filled with reliance upon God and not man. A heart that's filled with the glory of God because you know that He did everything in your salvation and you did nothing. I'm not talking about yesterday when I got started. I'm talking about every step of the way. If we keep our eyes fixed on that, my sister, we will be the happiest people in the world. I heard somebody tell me today that even though the people there, this was a person back home that had seen some pictures, some videos, that even though the people there have so little, they seem so happy. I know that Africans, including Nigerians, are especially have the happiest children I've ever seen anywhere in the world. But that's not because they know God necessarily. That's just their nature. I'm talking about a joy that's filling you up by the Holy Spirit, showing you Jesus Christ and enabling you to bring God glory from your heart so that you are satisfied.
Yana magana game da wannan farin cikin da muke da shi wanda zai kawo doka ka ga sunan Ubangiji wanda zai cika zukatan mu.
I'm talking about the love that comes from heaven, the love of God that's shed abroad on your heart until you're satisfied.
Yana magana ne game da kauna daga sama da Ubangiji Allah ya aiko dansa wanda ya zai zuta dinsa saboda mu mu samu wannan kaunar.
You're satisfied with what the Lord Jesus and what He did upon the cross to put away your sin. You're no longer trying to earn the favor of God. You're satisfied with Jesus Christ. You're satisfied with the power of the Holy Spirit to make you live the Christian life, and so you're not trying it in yourself, but you are trusting Him. You're satisfied with the will of God, no matter what happens, because He loved you and gave you eternal salvation. Are you satisfied with Christ? Are you thrilled? Are you thrilled? Is your soul on fire? Is doing the will of God the most important thing in life unto you, no matter what man says? Let's get serious now. This will impact your children and how they behave and how they treat each other, because they'll see it at home. I was with a missionary family many years ago from Papua New Guinea. They are dark-skinned people off the coast of Australia. Africans went everywhere. Australia, into China, into Korea, into Peru, into Mexico. You can see the statues of Africans that they made when they sailed on those ships. But these missionary children, even when their parents weren't there, I saw them, I caught them, I watched them, I observed them, and I saw what they were doing. And you know what these children did? They helped each other. They gave unto one another. They encouraged each other. And the older ones like you, if he took other food, now I know Americans have plenty of it, I understand, but he took the food and passed it unto the younger before he took it for himself. And I said, that man and that woman has taught his children well. And that's what taught me and encouraged me that this man knows God.
Yes.
How about you and your family? What's the most important thing in your life? Is this the glory of God? Then it will show. It will get out on you. And God will meet you at the judgment and say, well done. But, and there are two type of people, there are two types of builders in this text. If I use the blessed gospel, even the truth, to live for myself, God knows that I'm squandering my life. My sister, people don't know how much fun me and you were having. For the Manichee, they look at me and see sacrifice, all I see is joy. I sacrifice nothing. I'm serving God. For his glory.
That's a work of God alone.
If you live like that, you will be happy.
If not, you're wasting your life.
And when God meets you at the judgment,
even though you might be saved, you are saved. You'll see, Lord, thank you for saving me, but I wish I had done so much more and brought home more souls unto you instead of living for me. He will wipe away every tear. But you won't see as many souls in glory through your handiwork as you could have. And that's very important unto me. And it's not for pride reasons. It's because I want to be happy like Paul and see more and more and say, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You use the rest
right here. Mm.
You're saved when you put me in the ministry.
And I
brought you home, son. The greatest privilege in our life is to serve the glory of God. Verse 13, each one's work will become clear. Nobody's hiding from God. He's never fooled by a single soul. Please interpret, sir.
It's okay.
Well, I want the emphasis in there.
Okay.
Not just the scripture.
Okay. I can forward the mutun zai bayana domin rana za ta tona shi kama za a bayana ta da wuta.
For the day, that's the great day of judgment, it will declare it, it will show, it will expose every man for exactly what we are, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire of God's judgment will test each one's work of what sort it is.
I can call when I'm a tune say bayana. Dominan that a corner she, the maza a bayanata, the wuta, wuta qua, that a quada, I can call with it. Let it stop.
He's saying,
I'm going to take your money.
And are you able to read? Oops, I'm sorry, my sister. Are you able to read that? If you ought to get lights in here as to when you come to worship God, it's important enough to turn on your generator, that men and women can see their Bible, that you be not deceived by the preacher. You ought to give your best you've got unto the worship of God and let everything else fall by the wayside if it has to. God first.
Listen.
But God is saying that when I get unto the judgment, if I have built upon myself, my personality, and my greatness as a preacher, everyone who trusted in me instead of Christ is going to hell. It will not stand. That's why A daisy, I get so infuriated at men who have the blessed gospel and don't preach it, or they preach it for themselves.
I hate that.
Because your hearers, my dear pastors, cannot hear your personality and get into heaven.
And if we swerve from the gospel message, even though we have it and sprinkle it in, the only people who are truly saved are in love with those sprinkles. But everybody else that's attracted to the sideshow is perishing. But if we serve Him faithfully, and they look to Jesus Christ, and Christ is all that they have and all that I have, when we meet God at the judgment, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, wow. I don't know if it's going to be like that. We're going
to
hug. We don't know. We serve each other. How about you with your family right here? Are you going to meet them in heaven and say, I know that you got here by the grace of God and you used me in my prayer?
Oh God, thank you for saving them and for using me. That's going to be our song for all of eternity every time we look at each other's face. That's a good thing, and I want that to happen. Verse 14. If anyone's work in which he built on it endures, if it lasts the great day of judgment, if it stands the scrutiny of God, he will receive a reward.
I don't want no money when I get to heaven. You're going to want to take the streets of gold and start chopping it up and sneaking off and running off with it and hiding with it and storing it up like Achan. You're just picking up the streets of gold and say, I got more gold than anybody else. You won't be in heaven with an attitude like that. The streets of gold are only pictures of the glory of the Lamb and the redemption that He accomplished. The Almighty God is not about money and mammon. He's not trying to build the biggest houses for His family. He's not interested in the biggest churches with the fanciest buildings. The eternal Almighty God, as we shall see in our text, He dwells within the heart. That's the body of Christ. That's the temple.
Hiking.
And when we get into heaven's bliss and we see each other, that's going to be heaven on top of heaven. And so what about now? What are you living for now? You and I are living now for the reality of that great day. That's the big test. Have you ever taken a test and you fooled the professor? I had a test in college. I was supposed to read this book, and the professor said it was too hard. I didn't even read it and pass the test. Because you can fool the professor and you can fool man. But what you're living for right now, unless you repent, is going to be on your chest at the judgment day. And it's going to be manifest by what did you do with your life. If you pray for God's glory, are you women who can't preach? Did you pray for the preacher? Then you got in on his saving these other people unto the glory. You got in on it too when you were used by God. And when you get to the judgment and you see your friends and family, oh, you're going to say
it. Amen.
Is that what you're living for, the souls of other people and the glory of God? And it shall be well with you at the judgment. And he'll say, get your own hand. Come on in! Welcome! Welcome. Let's keep going.
Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned. Now, he's talking about people now.
Not talking about your house and cars. All that's going to be burned up when the Lord Jesus comes back. My brother, he's talking about the people that's under your ministry and mine. He will suffer loss. All that labor, all that lifetime in vain, all that good works, all those things he could have been doing, he was not doing, and he missed out with his life. He missed his joy and peace because he was satisfied with his pride. He missed out on what he could have had because he was living for himself. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire.
That means when he gets unto the judgment, even though his ministry has been faulty, if he has believed on our Lord Jesus Christ, he shall enter in. It's an amazing fact that even though I've messed up so much in my life, I'm already saved. He didn't turn his back on me, even though he did not use me as much as he could have. That's what me and you were talking about. All the mistakes that we made, all of the lessons I've had to learn the hard way. And my brothers and sisters, I've learned everything the hard way. That's why it's stuck inside my heart.
How about you? Have you learned that you're going to meet God and the only thing worth doing is bringing Him glory? Have you learned the misery of sin and the oppression of the devil? Have you learned the misery of having the truth inside of your head but not being able to obey it by the Spirit's power? Do you know what it's like to be in bondage and confusion and you want to serve God, you're just not able? Do you know what it's like to fail and fail and fail until you quit? I do. Yes. This is where I lose them if they're not taught by the Spirit. But you know what God was doing all the while that He was oppressing me? Because He would not let me go He was training me and you in the school of misery. That me and you might learn how truly miserable it is to serve ourselves in the ministry. That we may finally cry out to God by faith in Christ Jesus and say, by the blood and by the Spirit, deliver me because I have to do your will. Do you know what it means? I want to look at you. I don't want you hiding in the dark. I want to see your eyes. Do you know what I'm talking about right now? Who understand by experience how miserable it is to serve yourself. That's God's mercy. And He's saying, come to Jesus Christ and serve me, and it will be well. Because he's going to meet you at the judgment and he wants you to learn now. You hear my voice? You're hearing me? You understand what I'm saying? This is the truth of God, is it not? Is this not what the Bible is saying? Oh, then let's get it into our lives. And believe it, and receive it, and live by it, every word of it, and we shall be happy.
Mr. Daisy, if you used to be rich, you used to have all kinds of money, you used to travel with the big governor, you used to fly to France. Have you ever been more happy in your life than you are right now, serving God?
Nothing but God. That's all we need. It's all we ever needed was God and His glory. To live for Him. It's not just doctrine, it's a life. And it's a glorious life if you do it right with gold and silver and precious stones. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's to take the truth and give God glory with it. That's my only ambition, if I can examine my heart. And you know why? Because that's my prayer. Because God has already decided to give it to me. My beloved sister, when King David offered to build God a house, what did God say? No way. He said, I don't want no paybacks. I'm a gracious God. I'm a giver and a giver and a giver. And I'm going to keep on giving and I'm going to build you a house. And you know what King David did? He sat down in the house and he prayed. Lord, since you said it, you do it. And when God wants to put a blessing inside of your heart to give Him glory, He makes you start praying, Lord, make me give You glory at all costs, no matter what. And He's already given it to you in His purpose and in His plan. Or you never have prayed by faith in Jesus Christ. He shall be saved, but he's got to go through the fire. And verse number 16 and verse number 17 tells us a warning of what happens unto the man who does not preach true doctrine. And so there are really three kinds of people in this text.
Person number one is like me and you. And I'm not going to be shy about it. I'm included. It's the sword of the Lord and the
enemy.
And I must say so. My God, I believe it, and to deny it would not give God glory. I take it by faith and say thank you, and I walk with fear and trembling. But to deny God's work in you, sir, is not humility. But the second kind of person in this text, he knows the truth, but he lives for himself. Ah, his sports and entertainment, the American dream. The American dream is to have as much as possible, have as much happiness in this world as you possibly can, and have God on the side just to make sure you get into heaven. And they call him, my dear brothers there in the back, my fire insurance policy. Have you ever heard anything so blasphemous in your life? What they say is, just in case, let me make sure I have Jesus. It's blasphemy. I don't even know if you want to even hear it. It's the fire insurance. Insurance. If the house burns down and you have insurance, then you are safe. Did you get money for it? And that's really the third kind of person that's in our text. He doesn't preach the gospel at all.
He preaches prosperity.
He preaches himself as Big Papa. And when I leave here, do not let him in your house, no matter who it is. And if I came back and I changed my message, you grab me out of the pulpit.
Because that lie sends you straight to hell. Talking about God saved me to give me money.
So I spend my whole life trying to use people in order to get well and claiming I serve God. I neglect the doctors that he gave me and good common sense because I want a miracle that does not happen. If the prosperity preachers come to the north and I see them sneaking their way up here, you cast them out.
And you can tell them I said it, but that doesn't mean nothing. You tell them that God said in 1 Timothy 6:5, any man preaching that godliness is a means of getting money is depraved and destitute, does not know the truth at all. Not at all.
That's right. He's preaching right.
Yeah.
That's right. They preach these false gospels of God done all that he can do, and now it's up to you. Oh, he's just so helpless.
Heaven does not need you. And if it does, God will make sure that you get there. Shucks.
Don't you dare tell me that God's done all he can do and now it's up to me because I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell.
Say
when God recovered my soul, my sister, he made me realize if there was one thing I had to do, and he did 999,099, I failed. And so would you. So would you. Fail. Yeah. If there was one thing that he left up to us and said, I can't help you with this, it's on you, we die in our sin. That's Esau.
Is that right? He told Jacob,
I loved you from before you were ever born. And I'm going to save you. I'm going to drop down in a ladder while you're sleeping and your head is on the hard rock of this world and reveal myself unto you and you will trust me until you die. And he told Esau, I'm
going
to leave it up to you. And scripture says he hated him from before he was born. And you know the evidence? He let Esau tell him go and sent him to hell. But when God loves people with his everlasting love that's in Christ Jesus, that love cannot fail. It's not possible. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And if you don't believe and you perish in hell,
our Lord Jesus said, it's because you are not of my sheep. I'm telling you this from the bottom of my soul. God does all the saving. He does everything.
He says, a new heart I'll give you because your old heart is too stubborn. He says that my people shall be willing in the day of my power. Not the preacher's power. But when God comes calling, he draws the heart, and spiritually speaking, a man that was a cripple leaps up and praises God. And he follows him until the finish line. The false prophet says that God's people can lose their salvation. And you know why they said that? Because they want control of you. And they want to keep you in fear. And they want to make you give unless you get cursed. And they want to make you scared if you disobedient. And they want to keep you in spiritual bondage because they do not know God sets people free.
I love it. You see my face? God sets people free.
That prodigal son,
when he came home, did he get a beating? No. The father ran out, grabbed in it. Oh, Father, I'm not worthy to be called a son. Fuck all that. Let's throw a party. And there was music and dancing in heaven.
That's God. He takes the poor and broken spirit and he heals you. He takes the sinner who sinned and shows him mercy. He keeps his people in the covenant, and even though he might chastise you severely, he loves you until the very end. He said, I give them eternal life and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Eternal life is a gift with no take backs. The Almighty God. He saves them to the end. That's why they call him our Melchizedek, our great high priest.
Please listen to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Unto those who come to him, not the preacher. Don't walk forward here
unto be saved.
Trust God in your seat that's in heaven by faith in Jesus Christ. And he says that those that come unto him, he's able to save forevermore. In the book of John, he says, them that come to me, I don't care what they've done or who they are or how hypocrite or Muslim or fake Christian, I will not cast out. And once you get to Christ, it's forever.
Can you hear me? You get to Christ, and he'll take care of you your whole lifetime into eternity.
He'll keep on saving. He'll keep on forgiving. He'll keep on cleansing. He'll keep on pitying you. Won't he do it?
That's when you say amen. Won't he do it? Verse 16 and 17, and I'm done. I appreciate your patience. Do you not know that you are the temple of God?
And so the next time that Ben-Hinn or some false prophet says, touch not the Lord's anointed, you tell them that verse is talking about me. I'm God's people. I'm the anointed. I'm the temple of God. I'm holy with everyone in here who's trusting Jesus Christ. Don't let no man deceive you. And say his name. Benny Hinn.
And all the rest of them with that false gospel that points to man. My people, you are special because you are the temple of God. And what this text is saying is that the Spirit of God, the living God, dwells in you. Not in some building. It doesn't need to be some big cathedral. It needs to be the quiet place of a trembling, trusting heart. If you got your Bible open to verse 17, it's my last verse. And he's talking unto us preachers who claim to speak for God. Brother Mattakee, he's talking unto me and you. Brother Andrew.
Yes, sir.
My sister who leads of the studies and the women and exhorts and helps to build all these things, which we see here. I want you to hear every word. If anyone, I don't care who he is, I don't care how sincerely wrong he was, I don't care how blind he was and deceived by Satan, I don't care if that's the only religion he's ever heard in his life. It will not matter. There's no other foundation but Jesus Christ, and God's not compromised. He's not slowing down. He's not going to change things. He's not going to deny his son's glory and save anybody by anything else. Not going to happen. God will destroy him, for the temple of God, the people of God, is holy, which temple you are. Am I telling the truth? If anybody comes into this pulpit, Andrew or Heishi Mukola, anybody, and does not preach Christ Jesus according to the Bible, he is going to hell. Because the text says he's done two evils. Evil number one, he's built on another foundation than Jesus Christ. The true gospel, sovereign grace. Election, predestination, justification by faith, redemption, calling all the work of God unto the glorification. He's not preached the true gospel. That's offense one. But offense number two is that he's mistreated you. You are that important unto God that anyone who tells you lies, you who believe the true gospel, anyone who lies unto you is perishing in their sins.
Do what they are, do I was in Korea. gaskiya zai alaka mu da muka taya kan gaskiya zamu samu ceto zamu samu nasara.
So don't let anybody come in here and make you think that they are important.
No.
There are only two things that are important for every true preacher, and I've been saying it the whole time. The glory of God in Jesus Christ, that's one. And your salvation, that's two. That's all that he's about. That's the whole reason why he lives, is he, if he's been called by God. And he's building gold and silver and precious stones. And you know what that is? That's me and you that believe his message. The true preachers of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.